What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, boy. Welcome back. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. How we doing, y'all? Everybody good? Everybody getting good? Hope so. Midweek edition rolls on. I am the great one. Nope. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. I'm the average one, Rob Brown. One of many. One of one, the great one, Lonzo.
Come on. You're at least slightly above average.
I'll take it. That's the nicest thing anybody's going to say about me today. So I'll take it.
I hope that's not true. What are you going to do today? Wow.
Changing my Twitter handle to slightly above average Rob Brown.
That's a really long title.
How much? The name.
Yeah, but I mean, how much will actually show up when someone is looking through? It's just like slightly above.
It'll just say slightly above Rob Brown. Yeah. We got a lot to get to coming up on the show. 8 o'clock. Dende ordinarily joins us at 7:40 in this hour, but he's got something to do. So he's going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll talk some college football with Denton Day, host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime at 8 o'clock. At 8:40, Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, is going to join us. We'll talk a little bunny hockey coming up as we get set for a three-game homestand this week at the crib, back at the well. And I'm looking forward to that. A lot to talk about in the world of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. We have also got a lot more college football. The text line poll of the day is open, 844-326-3663. Our daily question today is, which of the final four teams in the college football playoff do you least want to win the national championship? Text Irish, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Lions. Text the name of the team. Irish, Buckeyes, Lions, or Irish. To 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. Text the team you least want to see win the national championship to 844-326-3663. And we will tabulate those at the end of the show and let you know who the Upstate's hating on in the Final Four. So we got that coming up for you later on in the show. But as it is 7:03 in the morning and you have 57 minutes on the dot to get your butt into work, sit down, unlock the computer, respond to those passive-aggressive overnight emails the boss man sent in, and get yourself ready to work, then do what you've been actually wanting to do. That is to step away and to go talk sports with the coworkers. You're going to need to know what's going on. And if you're going to need to know what's going on, well, good news is we're here for you. It's why we do this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this Wednesday morning and start talking sports with the coworkers. We dive right in to our, number one. The number one basketball team in the country hath fallen for the first time. I got in yesterday in the first article that I read as I did my last minute show prep before the show was Tennessee strengthens its grasp over the rest of the country on the number one ranking. And then they got dumped 73-43 last night by the Florida Gators. Not great, Bob. These are real numbers, not a typo. The Tennessee Volunteers last night had an awful night shooting. They were 12 of 56 from the floor. Now, that's, and I've done the math on this. You know I'm a big numbers guy, Lonzo. 12 of 56 is, statistically speaking, bad. Like below average. Like well below average. Like a lot, but like below average.
How many of those, I don't know if you have that in front of you, how many of those were threes?
29 of them, they made four.
Wow.
They were 4 of 29 from deep, 12 of 56 overall, 15 of 25 from the stripe. The Gators didn't really have a stellar night. They were 27 of 68 from the floor, 6 of 20 from deep, 13 of 17 from the stripe. They out-rebounded the Volunteers 55 to 38, nearly 20 more boards than the Vols. I don't know what to say other than the Volunteers last night had one of the worst offensive performances in the history of number one basketball teams. It was the worst loss by a number one overall team in 50 years. They got beat by 30 last night. By the way, the Florida Gators also accomplished a little bit of history last night as they are now the only athletic department to have a 30-point victory over the number one teams in both basketball and football. You'll remember when Florida beat number one Florida State for a natty by 100 points back in, what was it, 96. They became the only team, they, with last night's victory, are now the only college with a 30-point victory over the number one ranked team in both football and basketball after they drummed the Vols last night. Both teams are now 14-1. Both teams are now 1-1 in conference after that dub last night by Florida. This was in Gainesville, by the way. Let's go to item number two. We continue watching the NFL head coaching carousel begin to gain momentum last day. I was going to say last night. It was yesterday. And then I almost said last day. Yesterday, because I'm an idiot.
Last day kind of would have been accurate.
I mean, it would have been, but like nobody says that. Doesn't matter. After his first full season as the head coach, the Las Vegas Raiders fired Antonio Pierce. He is no longer the head coach. They are retaining general manager Tom Telesco, who was hired for the role last season. So for some reason, Antonio Pierce gets the boot as the HC, but the GM who constructed an entirely bull roster gets to keep his job. I'll need some explaining for that.
Well, maybe it's one of those things where the owner decided we're going to go this direction and he didn't let the GM actually do anything. And now there's also a new owner who might have some influence over things.
Tom Brady is a new minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. And it was made clear yesterday in multiple reports that Brady will have a voice in the quest for a new head coach. Now, the speculation has started a spinning, okay? The speculation has started spinning. I was going to save this for later on in the show, but I'll play it now. The speculation has started spinning now that Tom Brady will have a voice in the conversation about who the next head coach is. This is Hayes Carlyon, C-A-R-L-Y-O-N, Carlyon. He is a host on 1010XL out of Jacksonville, and here was his take on the hoodie at UNC. So Hayes Carlyon says he thinks Hoodie never coaches a game for UNC, thinks he did it as leverage. I don't understand how that gives him leverage, but hey, what do I know? And that one of the eight teams, he believes eight, I think it's probably going to be seven, could be eight though, that does not get Ben Johnson or their choice may decide to slam the emergency button and give Hoodie a call. Well, right after this take kind of started taking off, the Raiders fire Antonio Pierce. Now, in fairness, they were 4-13. But also in fairness, Antonio Pierce last year going into the draft was like on a mic stand, like, yo, I want a QB. In fact, Antonio Pierce said over and over, I want Jaden Daniels. That dog is going to be a dog. I want Jaden Daniels. And the Raiders refused to make a move, refused to make a trade. All of the quarterbacks, Drake May, all of them, were off the board by the time the Raiders made their selection at 13. Meaning that he had to roll out there this year with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Now, y'all know I love me some Gardner Minshew. I love some jorts and stash and RV down by a river as much as the next guy. But he ain't a guy that's going to carry a team. So the GM sent him out there with that roster. He goes 4-13. They fire him, but not the GM. And the now the smoke is that this is because Brady is trying to sell Mark Davis on bringing in the Hoodie as the head coach. And, of course, it would benefit the Belichicks, obviously, because it's so late in the head coaching hiring circuit for college. And who's on the staff there? Hoodie's son. Meaning he could just turn the headset over to his kid and they wouldn't have to change anything. I don't necessarily believe that this is going to be the case, but I do find the drama interesting.
By the way, I did mention, I think it was yesterday, that would be funny if he brought in Belichick. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think Belichick stays where he is. I am curious, though, will Tom Brady be better as an owner than Michael Jordan was?
Yeah, I think so, for two reasons. Number one, Brady is still, to me, and this is where I think the disconnect happened with Michael Jordan. I understand that Jordan's mentality won him a fistful of rings. Why do you think we celebrate the mentality of Michael Jordan? Why do you think we celebrate the mentality of Kobe Bryant? Because it's incredibly rare, right? And guys like that, and this is something that creates problems for guys like that. Why do you think when the documentary rolled out, so many guys were so quick to jump on the TV and Michael Jordan into the camera, right? Because the mentality of Michael Jordan is so unique, so rare. It's one in a million. The Mamba mentality of Kobe Bryant, so unique, so rare, so one in a million, that these guys assume everybody else has that. And they don't, most of them, I don't want to say all of them, most of them do not understand how anybody else cannot think the way that they think, cannot operate the way. Kobe Bryant knew like four different languages, and every NBA player had a story of coming in from the bar and Kobe Bryant's in the gym at 3 o'clock in the morning getting his pump on so he can practice at 8 and then go to the gym and then practice again and then go to the gym again, right? And they don't understand how other people don't have that mentality. And the reality is 99% of people don't. I think Jordan came into the Hornets and expected that everybody on that roster and everybody in that front office was going to have that Jordan mentality, and they don't. Brady has that mentality, but I think Brady, especially working with such a much larger roster and coaching staff than Jordan ever had to, I think Tom Brady has figured out how to communicate with the, if you'll pardon the video game expression, the normies. I think he has figured out how to communicate with them and can do so. On top of that, the success that Tom Brady has is 3 years ago. Jordan had been out of the game for a very long time when he stepped back in. Brady is having conversations with guys that are only, you know, the oldest ones are only a handful of years younger than him. Jordan was way aged out of the league at that point. So it's a great thought. It's a great question. I think there are some differences. That being said, I think at the end of the day, Mark Davis is just an inept owner. I think he's just an inept owner. And how many times have I said, I think if you look at the bottom of the barrel, if you look at the teams that are all picking 1 through 9, they're almost exclusively, not all of them, but almost exclusively, they either have an inept owner or they have an owner who has been inept and maybe has finally stepped out of the way, if you get my drift. We'll see. All right, let me quickly get to item number 3. The Atlanta Braves still have not made a preseason move to go find another pitcher. Uncle Charlie, Charlie Morton, has made his way up to the great Northeast, meaning the Braves are down to just a few pitchers. They do not have a rotation right now because they don't have five rotation starting pitchers. Now, there's one of two things that's going to happen right now. Either A, they're going to rely on the pitching staff they've assembled in the farm system and hope they hit on a guy like they did last year with Spencer Schwellenbach, which is fair. Or B, there's something cooking. What I do know is you are almost completely out of names on the free agency market. Justin Verlander and the San Francisco Giants are in agreement on a one-year, $15 million contract. The future Hall of Famer will start at age 42 when he takes to the bump for the G-men this year. He enters his 20th major league season, considered one of the best pitchers of his generation. He currently leads all active pitchers in innings pitch, strikeouts, and wins. He is a three-time Cy Young Award winner, but he is coming off the worst season of his career. He had shoulder and neck injuries, had just 17 starts last year, and over the final seven starts, posted an 8.1 ERA with a falling strikeout rate and a climbing home run rate. I don't know that this is the stretch that the Giants wanted, but if there was a team that Justin Verlander fits in with, it is the San Francisco Giants because they have one of the most pitcher-friendly parks in Major League Baseball. Over his career, Verlander 262 and 147, a 3.3 career ERA over 3,415 innings pitched, has struck out 3,416 batters, is averaging effectively 1K per inning, walked 952, and does have a pair of World Series rings during his time with the Astros. Returning to Houston was not an option for 2025. Gravitated toward the Giants, where he'll join a rotation that includes Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Kyle Harrison. There are some other spots, including righty Hayden Birdsong. That could be the fifth man. Verlander will likely slide in the fourth spot of that rotation. I don't tell you that because there's a bunch of G-men fans out there. I tell you that because there's a bunch of Braves fans out there. And I'm going to keep it a buck. Lonzo knows the cycle of Rob. Optimistic in the preseason. Jacked to the moon for the first 3 weeks of the season. 97% of the season slamming the panic button until the Braves get eliminated. I should be in full-on optimist mode right now. I should be full-on, that's it, we're heading back this year. And instead, I'm sitting here going, that's it, we're not even going to be able to field a team next year. We're not even going to have enough pitchers. We're going to end up with like nine. They might call me and ask me if I can go out there and give them three solid innings at this point. It's not good. It's not good. The Braves are failing right now. There's no other way to put it. Now, the Braves have worked quietly in years gone by. They've worked quietly, and I hope they work quietly again, and I hope they figure it out. But they ain't yet. Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We'll continue with some college and NFL football talk. Got some other stuff I want to get into and more as the Rob Brown Show rolls on. Rob, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. How do you do, amigos? Great to be with you. Rob Brown, the great one. Lonzo, if you want to be a part of the show, now's your chance to do it at 844-326-3663. Call in, be a part of the show. Text in, be a part of the show at 844-326-3663. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. Your text message poll question of the day. Which of the four semifinal teams do you least wish to see win the national championship? I want you to text Lions, Buckeyes, Irish, or Longhorns to 844-326-3663. Text Longhorns, Irish, Buckeyes, or Lions to 844-326-3663. I have given you my argument for each of the four. You are welcome to text your vote and your reason for it. But in order for your vote to count, your text must start with Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes. Start your text with one of those four words, and then you can tag your reason on to the end of it. But start your text with one of those four team names so that we can log your vote. We will tell you at the end of the show who it is that the Upstate is hating on the most. As it stands right now, let's see where our vote total is as it stands right now. Great one. We have asked the question. We have gotten a pretty healthy handful of votes so far. As of right now, it is neck and neck. The leading vote getter right now, Lonzo, is Texas. Texas has 35% of the votes. Ohio State is second with 29% of the votes. 24% of the votes go to Notre Dame. And just 12% of the votes go to Penn State right now. So right now, Texas is the team the Upstate least wants to see win the national championship. Tell me who you don't want to see win it. Text 844-326-3663. Start your text with Lions, Longhorns, Irish, or Buckeyes. We will count those votes up and read them for you at the end of the radio broadcast. All right. I talked a little bit about it back in the first hour. I want to talk about it again here very briefly. And I don't want to talk about it just because of the event, though the event was great. The TGL fired up last night, the Golf League. I thought it was great. I watched all 2 hours of it. I tuned in right at 9 o'clock. The lady and I watched a couple of episodes of Shrinking, which if you're not watching that on Apple TV, I highly encourage it. It has been since Ted Lasso that I openly laughed at a show. Wife and I, we love Shrinking. It's great. We're 5 episodes in so far. It is spectacular. Jason Segel. Harrison Ford is like sneaky one of the funniest people in the game right now. Like his character is phenomenal. Anyway, we were watching that, and then we ended an episode about 9:05, and I was like, all right, I'm going to flip over. She was like, oh, yeah, the golf thing. I said, yeah, we turned it on, and she watched about an hour. She watched up to the intermission, and then she called it a night. I watched the whole 2 hours, and I got to say I loved it. It was entertaining. It was engaging. It was unique. It was different. It was, to me, it was enough golf for golf guys But it was enough of some dudes having fun hanging out playing video games together for not golf people, right? Like, that was the vibe to me. It was golf enough. They've got to hit shots. They've got to shape shots. They've got to play golf. But it was like, I think Scott Van Pelt described it as human beings playing golden tee, right? If you didn't watch enough of it, the first handful of holes, did you watch right at the start, Lonzo, or did you kind of check in midway through?
It was about 9:02 or something like that. So they were finishing up the very first one, the very first round. And I forget who won the first one, the first hole or whatever.
Yep. It was...
they had just finished driving, and then they were going to the putting green for the first time.
Okay. The thing that I did not know what they were doing...
They had to take turns, so it was.
So it was. It's the first. What was it? The first six holes. They played 15 holes. It was the first nine were three ball alternating. So player one hits wherever his ball lands. Player two hits wherever that ball lands. Player three hits once the putt is made. Whoever is the next player up, they go hit the next drive.
Because the guy who hit the last shot is like, man, I'm sorry for where I left
exactly.
it for you.
And it's to me, that's entertaining, right? Like, having to have that interaction is entertaining. And then the next guy's got to figure out, okay, that's maybe not where I would have played that drive, so now I got to put myself into that mindset. But I thought it was entertaining. And then the back half, the final holes from 10 to 16 were straight-up match play, right? Player one plays player one from the other team. Player two plays play, and they play golf.
So, do you believe that their strategy going into it, going okay, you're going second. Here's where I would like you to put the shot for my second
Absolutely.
Shot. And then that guy, here's where I would love for you to put it on the green.
I have played tournament golf like that before, where you know maybe player one has got a real nice fade and he's able to get the ball over, but player two goes, if you do that, it's going to leave me in a spot where you're asking me to hit a 7-iron and that's my worst club or whatever, right? So you got to kind of negotiate where that's going to go. It's entertaining. But what was most entertaining was that it was just the dudes and they were being put in uncomfortable situations because later in the game, though, if you'd watch towards the end of it, they started playing like cyber-designed holes, right? So like one of the holes, they called it the spear. And it was the, you would tee off and the fairway, though, was a big pointed triangle, and that triangle was then point to point with another triangle that opened up this way back the other way, but the center where it was at its most narrow was right in the average driving range of a PGA Tour pro. So these guys had to decide, am I going to hit it real short and not risk going in the water, but then have a real long second shot to the green, or do I put all gas, no brakes, and try to slam this golf ball, knowing that I've got the length to go long, but if I'm left or right at all, I'm gonna be in that narrow spot where the white. Like watching them have to navigate, that was interesting. And then when they actually showed how the green works, if you haven't seen it, it looks like something out of the damn X-Men, right? There's a big green, it's called the green zone. There is a green, and underneath the green, there are these big circular discs that are on top of really precise like hydraulic mounts. And they can undulate them. So they can make, you know, this one goes up and that one goes up. And they can shape the green any way they want. And so after these guys hit their balls on the big screen, a light shines down on that green where their ball is on the green based on what happened in the simulator. And they walk up there, put the ball down, and now they got to read the green. And then we got like Lou Vergeberg knocked down like a 32-footer. It's one of the most impressive putts I've ever seen. And there's other guys that couldn't get the read on this thing at all because it's not a natural green. It was really interesting. But I'll tell you what I loved about it the most. What I loved the most about it was this. What I loved the most about it was that they showcased the personality of the golfers, but not in a way that it took away from the golf. They showcased the personality of the golfers, but they didn't make it where it overshined what they were doing. I think golf just hit on something spectacular. I think golf just hit on something that I have been begging for baseball and basketball and football to do for years. Show us the personality of the players, but not in a way that detracts from the game. I think basketball has it totally backwards. They dial all in on the player personalities, and they don't hype the game. Baseball has it all wrong. They dial in exclusively on the game, but they don't promote the players. Promote the players, let us attach to them personally, and then allow them to promote the game. And if you do that, you're going to get people like my wife, who's now a Wyndham Clark guy. She saw Wyndham Clark play last night. She's like, dude, he is funny. He's entertaining. He's very handsome. I'm like, yeah, shut up. I get it. And now she wants to watch golf just to watch Wyndham Clark.
By the way, it was really cool that they did the interactions that they do during the match between the announcers and the golfers themselves.
Absolutely.
That they were all mic'd up. That was kind of cool.
It was awesome. And so you showcase the personality of the golfers while showing how they play golf to make people like my wife want to tail them over to watch them play in actual tournaments. Something that they've been struggling to do. I thought this was a brilliant move and the execution of it. And it felt very modern and contemporary, right? Like it was attention grabbing. It was fast paced. There was music. There was lights. It was entertainment to follow you over to the most boring sport to watch on TV if you don't love golf. I thought that was great. All right, back after this. We'll talk some NFL next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, be a part of the show. 844-326-3663. That's the number if you want to be a part of the show. Now is a spectacular opportunity to do it. 844-326-3663. You can text us at that same number. Question mark. Oh, the day today. What team do you least?
You all right? Need words of encouragement?
Yeah.
I
just watched what you sent me.
Okay. Did you watch it all the way through?
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
You want to play that game on this
nope,
team?
Sure don't. Sure don't. I don't need a concussion as you take out your rage and aggression on me over the past 5 years.
I'm old. I mean, I probably don't have that much of a swing.
Last night, great one. I was on BetMGM tonight, as I am every Tuesday. And Brad Evans said, Rob Brown, which player would you put a bet on right now? Which player would you put a bet on right now to win the Super Bowl Most Valuable Player Award? And this is an interesting question. And it is an interesting question to start, Lonzo, because you got to make two projections. You got to make two predictions on this. Projection number one is you got to correctly predict who is going to win the Super Bowl, as obviously like 1,000% of the time, the MVP comes from the winning team. Number two, then you've got to determine who wins the Super Bowl and who's going to have a standout game. Now, the easy thing to do here is to jump right in and to go with
Taylor Swift.
Because she's a warlock with magical powers. Her songs aren't number one hits. They're dark art incantations. And the reason that the NFL went out of the way to promote her nationally and get her more attention is so that the hex, which scatters across America when Taylor tells us to shake it off, shake it off. Finally, the magic is no longer just in Kansas City. They're winning with blocked field goals and doinks all over America now. It's unavoidable. But Taylor Swift is a witch, jokes aside. By the way, Tay-Tay, still heart hand emoji you, okay? It's all love. I struggled with that question, great one, and here's why.
Well, there's an easy answer, and it's probably... I don't know. I mean, the easiest answer would be to go with Patrick Mahomes.
It would be, except for, I think that we have got to genuinely take a look at what Patrick Mahomes has been this season, which is average. I mean, he's been average. That's just statistically speaking.
Here's what he's done. He's done what he normally does, and at the end of a game, does the things that he needs to win the game. Which on that scale for the Super Bowl, if it's a game-winning drive and he comes out and he drives down in 12 seconds and throws a touchdown pass, he's going to get the MVP because it's the biggest play, the most outstanding thing. I mean, something that really stood out during the Super Bowl. It's going to get that for you.
I would say this. I don't think, and this I don't know if this is if there's some sort of bias that I am going through here, but I genuinely don't think that that what Mahomes has done this year is something that jumps off the page. I mean, he got almost 4,000 yards.
That has nothing to do with playing Super Bowl.
I understand that. But I don't know why, and I guess this is the conversation here. I don't know why it is that I would expect that a guy who played 16 games this year at a good level. But again, and this is credit to Andy Reid and the Chiefs. They built this team so that they don't have to have Patrick Mahomes be magic every game to win every game. They built this team to be able to lean on that defense very heavily, on Chris Jones very heavily. They built this team to be able to lean on Travis Kelce. They went and got Xavier Worthy, who's been a revelation this year. They built this team in a way that I think other NFL teams should emulate. Yes, go get a franchise quarterback, but then build the team in a way that you, if he's not perfect one day, you don't go, okay, he's not perfect, they lose this game.
All right, so I'm just looking through a list of Super Bowl MVPs, the majority of which are quarterbacks. So if it's not Patrick Mahomes, it's probably going to be whatever quarterback wins.
Again, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying here is, if I have to make, and the reason I'm saying it this way.
There have been a couple of, all right, more than a couple, a few defensive players that have won it. Like Ray Lewis has won it. Von Miller has won it. Malcolm Smith. These are guys who had stellar games. Or like Malcolm Smith won for Seattle, had one interception for TD, one fumble recovery, and 10 tackles. So I'm guessing those, although I watched the Super Bowl, I don't remember that one, that those were so impactful that it made it stand out to the degree that they went, that was the guy that's the MVP of this game. I don't think it matters what you've done all year. It's what you do in that game.
I understand that. I don't disagree. So let me clarify again. I'm not arguing with you. I agree with that. What I am saying is I can't just say that you get there and there's going to be a magical flip switch where all of a sudden this is why I frame everything. Somebody asked me on the text line a day or two ago, why do you frame everything in a sports gambling mentality? And I'll tell you the reason why. I think more people that do my job, I'm not saying fans, but I think more people that do my job need to put their money where their mouth is. This is why I despise hot takes. Because we live in this world where you throw out 50 hot takes and a guy jumps on the radio the next day and he just hammers the one that he got right and we all ignore the 49 he got wrong. The reason I frame everything from a sports gambling perspective is because if I'm going to make a bet on it, you better damn well believe I'm going to go with something I truly believe, not just be saying something for the sake of getting attention like many people in my industry do. So if I'm putting my money on it, I am not going to put my money on Patrick Mahomes played 16 games, played well, but wasn't like he wasn't the centerpiece of this team. Even if I do believe, and I said this to Brad Evans last night, and I kind of made this the same Taylor Swift joke about it, but like, yeah, I got no reason to believe anybody but Kansas City's winning the Super Bowl. I would feel differently if Detroit was fully healthy. I think Detroit can beat Kansas City if they're fully healthy, but they got 11 starters on defense and 17 of them are out injured. Like it's not happening. Not with that many bang ups on the defensive side of the football, specifically against Andy Reid and the Chiefs.
So you talk about Patrick Mahomes having a not normal season for himself, but they changed their offense. They're not a big play offense anymore. They dink and dunk. That's what they do.
Not disagreeing, but if that is the case, then that's it doesn't require an MVP performance out of Mahomes.
Would you have a problem if I said Nuke Hopkins is my MVP choice?
No, I wouldn't. I don't have a problem if you said him. I don't have a problem if you say Xavier Worthy. I don't have a problem if you say Isaiah Pacheco. I don't have a problem if you say Travis Kelce. And frankly, and this is why it's interesting, I think you have as good of a chance that you have one of those guys pop off and have a day and win it. Now, it makes it tougher for the wide receiver because if Nuke goes out there and has 175 and two touchdowns, that means Mahomes is probably getting 300 yards. And if he goes for 300 yards and three touchdowns, even if they all go to D-Hop, they're still going to give it to Mahomes, right? Mahomes is, I think, at this point, and this is not me banging the drum as an anti-Mahomes guy. I love Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is like the one guy in sports that voter fatigue doesn't seem to be real, right? Like, there's a lot of folks on the social media landscape right now.
He didn't make the Pro Bowl, right?
Well, again, there's no reason for him to have. He's not a Pro Bowl quarterback this year.
Don't the fans have part of...
It's media and players, too. And again, I don't even think fans are going to... I don't think he didn't get in because of voter fatigue. I think he didn't get in because he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback this year. They haven't leaned on him. Pro Bowlers are guys you lean on. They haven't had to lean on him. And it's good, by the way. I'd rather win one Super Bowl than go to the Pro Bowl 10 times, right? Like, that's just me. So, my thought here is I wouldn't be upset with you going anybody on this Chiefs offense if that's the MVP vote. My question is there anybody else that you would take the risk on?
Oh, I would prefer it be Chris Jones win it, because that would mean a dominant defensive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, depending on who you get out of the NFC, honestly, I think if you get Detroit, Chris Jones becomes an absolute potential get there. Jared Goff is a good quarterback. He's playing good football, but Jared Goff's a bit of a statue, right? If he's going to stay in that pocket and Kansas City can do a good job with coverage sacks, Chris Jones will have five or six. Chris Jones gets five sacks, he's the MVP at that spot. So I think there's other guys, but I'm even saying, is there anybody from another team that you're willing to vote MVP right now? Are you willing to take a stab at Josh Allen, the guy who's going to win the NFL MVP for the league? Are you willing to take a stab at Lamar? They talked to yesterday.
I would go with Lamar. Josh Allen's not going to make it to the Super Bowl because they're not going to get past Baltimore. But I would Lamar probably.
I mean, Lamar's a good stab. Lamar yesterday did a press conference. They were talking to him about the playoffs, and they're like, "Yo, you like, let's call it a buck. You guys have struggled in the playoffs. Why do you think that is?" And Lamar was like, "Yo, we like this team gets the like we've gotten the jitters, and I think we've gotten that. Hopefully, we've gotten that knocked out of us."
Are there odds out there yet for that sort of thing?
Yeah, Brad had him last night. Let me see if I can find him.
I wonder how much money I'd make if I put a little cash down on Sam Darnold.
Enough to retire, I would guess right now. If I had to guess, I'd say enough to retire. Sam Darnold's going to be sitting at like, I don't know, 75-1 would be my guess. We'll see if I can find
that. Extra money, isn't that the kind of bet you make, though?
Super Bowl winner right now. The winner right now. The Lions are +275, favored over the Chiefs, who are +350. The next closest team, the Ravens and the Bills, are both 6-1. The Eagles, 7-1. Everybody else is 16-1 or longer. Vikings, 16. Packers, 18. Bucks are 30-1. Chargers, 35-1. Rams, 35-1. So are the Commanders. The Broncos are 80-1. The Texans and the Steelers are both 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. Your Super Bowl MVP odds as they stand right now: Mahomes is 4-1, Goff is 5-1, Allen is 6.5-1, Jackson is 7-1, everybody else is 15-1 or longer. Jalen Hurts is 15-1, and then you drop off. Jamar Gibbs, 16. Saquon, 20-1. Sam Darnold, 22-1. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 25-1. Jordan Love, 33-1. So is Baker Mayfield. Derrick Henry. Justin Herbert is 35-1. How about Justin Herbert is a wild shot there? Honestly. I mean, there's some teams out there a little afraid of the Chargers. By the way, did you see this thing where
they should be afraid of the Chargers?
If the Rams and the Chargers were to both make it to their conference championship game, what happens? Because they share a stadium, and both conference championship games are on the same day, within like 30 minutes of each other. What happens if both these teams make it to the conference championship game? One just moves to Saturday, right? Like they just go, sorry, Chargers, you got the short end. You're playing Saturday night. Rams play Sunday, or vice versa. What do they do?
The championship games are on the same day.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Don't like, wouldn't you have to move one to a different day? I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out. All right. I'm also excited to see what Denton Day has to say about our college football playoff Final Four. We will talk to the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM when we come back here in a minute. I am Rob. He is Lonzo. And now he is going to educate you with his sports flash.
South Carolina women's basketball standout Ashlyn Watkins will miss the remainder of the season after tearing her ACL, according to the athletic department. The injury came in the first half of a 95-68 win over Mississippi State Sunday. The 6'3 forward was averaging 7.2 points and a team-high 6.4 rebounds across 14 appearances. The Gamecocks play Texas A&M Sunday, then five consecutive ranked SEC opponents afterwards. Zion Williamson returned to the New Orleans Pelicans lineup last night, recording 22 points in just under 28 minutes of play. Williamson also had 6 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block in a 104-97 loss to Minnesota. Williamson has played in just 7 of the Pelicans' 37 games this season. Tune in tonight, 6:30, as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, a fan upstate.